Let us pray. Father, this morning we approach you as those who are weak and recognize your strength. As the ones who recognize that we are insufficient, not just to the immediate task that is before us, but are insufficient for all things except that we lean into you and your supreme sufficiency. What is too big for us is not too big for you. And so we pray, Lord, that you will guide our thoughts and our time together with your word, and even as we conclude in prayer for one another and for our nation. Lord, we pray that we will have the sweet sense of your Holy Spirit being with us, speaking to our hearts words of comfort and challenge and conviction. And may in our hearts you find receptivity, that may we respond in a way that is glorifying to you. So now I pray, Lord, you give me grace to speak your word to your people with your heart. Amen. Amen. And so what I want to do is kind of process with you a couple of thoughts on how you can process the fear and anxiety that's a part of life. The reason I'm addressing it today is obvious, right? But this is not a coronavirus message. It is a message that I believe applies to us in every area of our life where we struggle with fear and anxiety and maybe worry. And it will also helpfully be something that will be helpful to you in reaching out to people who struggle without any resolution to their fear and in their worry and in their anxiety. For we have a resource in God, and we want to share that resource. But here's what I know. If you're human, any humans here? If you are human, one or two, you know what fear and anxiety and worry are, right? This is part and parcel with being human. We are small, the world is big. Whenever we think we are in control of our lives and we make plans, it really doesn't take all that long to discover that we don't have even the most basic things in control. From flights to Rome, to viruses that seem to at breakneck speed cover the globe, and as of this morning, every state in the union except for one. So when Andy says to you on his adios, on his arrivederci, we'll see you Sunday, Lord willing, that's not a trite saying. It is a right saying, isn't it? Lord willing, we will gather again together. And up till now, the Lord has been willing. And we believe he will remain willing. But it's not just a cute little saying. It is a reality. If we or the people we know are going to have a shot at dealing with our fears, if we're going to have a shot and the people who we know are going to have a shot of overcoming our fears, then we're going to need to identify the fears. We're going to need to locate where they are, and we're going to have to be honest with them. It does no good to say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, and so I have no problem. That's simply not the truth. Our fears aren't God given to us as a possession of ours, as our right as children. Our right as children of God is to have the strength and the power to move beyond the fears that come to our lives on a regular basis. Some people are more prone to fear than others. Some are more prone to anxiety than others. Some are more prone to worry. But it is all our common road. And the goal for us this morning is to learn, what do we do? What do we do with the fears that come our way? If we don't find the location of our fears, if we don't find where they come to us from, then the attractiveness of God's word will lose its power for us. Fear not, for I am with you is a beautiful saying. It's a beautiful truth. But it only comforts those who are really struggling with fear. at that moment, when your fear comes face to face, it comes into contact, it comes into conflict with the power of God, then you are comforted, right? It only has meaning for those who struggle with fear, for those who are experiencing a little bit of worry, for those who are stressed and who are anxious. If we are blind to our fears, if we are blind to our worries, then God's word of comfort won't anchor into our souls deeply as they ought to. So rather than deny and ignore our fear, rather than to deny and ignore our anxiety and our worry, we are wise to discover them, to root them out so that God's word can come to bear upon them. What fears and anxieties tend to attach themselves to your soul? That is, to attack your peace. And I know each one of us has some of these. They can be as simple as clowns, which I don't get, but is a real thing for some people. The dark, going to the doctor and needles, right? Airplanes, germs, cancer, COVID-19, confinement, crowds, heights, your children's future, your own future, right? So we look at these things. We nail them down. See, fear is nothing new to you. It's nothing unique to you. Whatever fears you have, and this is, should be some good news for you, whatever fears you have, you can be sure that you're not alone. There are others who have just as crazy fears as you have, and there's others who share the exact same fear that you have. Talk with somebody about fear. I mean, really. Talk with somebody about fear. What do they fear? How do they deal with their fear? What do they think about fear? If you have this conversation, and really I recommend you have this conversation, let's talk about fear. Let's talk about fear in the world. Let's talk about how it applies differently to Christians, or it ought to land differently on Christians. If you have this conversation, you're going to discover at least three things. The first is this. You're going to discover that you're not crazy. The pastor may stand up and say, fear of clowns is crazy. But there's thousands of people who are in that camp, right? So it's not an outlier that you're just the craziest person in the world. You have company there, right? You're not alone. Your very normal neighbors struggle with fears as well. The second thing you're going to conclude is that fears in the end aren't crazy. The fears that cause your heart to skip a beat and your body to jump back when you step into the road and a rushing car is coming your way, that fear, that's not crazy. That's how you were created. It's a gift from God for your protection. Those moments, that's not crazy. That's not lunacy. That's the right thing. And the scripture says this, the fear of God, a reverent understanding of who He is, the fear of being out of relationship with Him, the fear of destroying that relationship, it's the beginning of wisdom. That if we are absent all fear, if we can come brashly and boldly with confidence into the presence of God, not reverently and worshipfully, we are the crazy ones. The third is as you have this conversation, what you're going to find is that in your fear, you're going to begin to turn outward. Because what fear does is fear turns inward. Anxiety turns inward. Worry turns inward. It's all about what's going on in my life and what I'm afraid might happen to my life. And when you have a conversation with other people and you're talking about fear in a thoughtful manner, you're going to move beyond yourself and you're going to move towards the interest of others. You're going to move towards the interests of others and try, oh, I can be of help to this person in this particular area of need. And you're also going to have a resource in other people who are turning towards you. What fear does is it isolates us. It pushes us back. It's not about self-quarantine, which might be wise. Self-distancing, social distancing, right? There's some wisdom in that right now. It's not crazy. But if we continue to resist all social interaction, if we quarantine ourselves, if we hibernate, if we isolate ourselves, if we remove ourselves from outside fellowship and care and concern, we are in a desperately lonely place that is difficult to get out of. And this is what your fears do. They push you into the place where you feel you're all alone. And there's nobody to help. And if you have the thoughtful conversation, you begin to understand you're not crazy. You're not alone. And there is a two-way street that it will benefit you and will benefit the people who you know. And so having located your fear, whatever it is, your anxieties and your worries, we come to understand that your fears, our anxieties, our worries, they are speaking to us. They are telling us things, every one of them. You know, that's what your emotions do. Your emotions speak to you. They have a message from embarrassment, you're pathetic, to anger, it's all their fault and I have a right to judge them, right? To happiness, to grief, to guilt, to fear, they all are saying things to us. And when we are in the moment of fearfulness, fear tells us this. It says, run to the hills! Fear comes to us and says, avoid this situation, avoid that person. Fears will tell us to deny what's going on, to pretend that it's not happening. Over and over and over, our fears, our anxieties, our worries speak to us. And it's all about desperation. See, here's what fear and anxieties are. They are prophets of doom. They make predictions about the future. And what they say is there's something that's going to happen in the future that is a threat to who you love and to what you love and to who you are. Right now, the fear that is capturing our world over the coronavirus, what is it saying to people? It's saying you're going to get sick. Somebody else is going to get sick. When they're sick, they're going to die. They're not going to die. Or it may be hitting you in this way. You know, I don't think the coronavirus is going to end up to be that big a deal, but unfortunately, since everybody else is losing their mind, my retirement is going to be compromised. It hits us all in one way or another. Fear and worry are prophecies. We've seen it this week. You know, in small things, not small, but small things like the run on toilet paper. And it's easy for us to chuckle at that, which I've done and crack some jokes. But when a heart is captured by fear, it's not a funny thing. On the outside, you know, right, you see pictures, you go, that's just insane, that's pathetic, that's sad. And it is horribly sad. But for the person who is fearful, and in a moment they got to stop everything they're doing and run sort of find some toilet paper, they're listening to a fear that captures you in different ways and causes you to act in irrational ways. But since God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of sound mind and power and of love, we can go to the Acme and we can see that there are three packages of toilet paper left. And we can go, all right, I'm going to grab one and leave two for other people. Or we can do the accounting in our head and say, you know what, I'm pretty sure I got toilet paper for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to leave it all for people who don't have enough toilet paper to make it through the week. It seems trivial, right? But I wonder, what are the predictions and the prophecies that we're being told by our regular fears and our persistent anxieties? This thing about toilet paper is going to run out. No pun intended. We're going to get past this. Stocks of toilet paper are going to be replenished. But our persistent fears and our persistent anxieties, they tell us stories that causes us to act in ways that aren't helpful, that are all about us and aren't thoughtful for the people who are around us. And so that's what I wonder. See, worries act like the Hebrew spies of Numbers chapter 13. You know the story. They're at the side of the Jordan, and Moses says, this is the land that God has brought us into. Let's take one man from every tribe and send them in to spy out the land. And the 10 spies came back and said, well, you know, it's kind of awesome over there, but then there's this. They are huge. and they will tear us apart. And the Bible says this, they gave themselves over so much to this fear that they began to spread lies among the community. What untruths do our fears cause us to believe? Because fear is not a rational thing. Or it doesn't tend to cause us to be rational in our thinking. That's why when God says to us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound judgment, self-discipline, self-control. We need that kind of power, right? Because fear doesn't lean towards sound judgment. The Hebrew spies went and they say, we can't handle this, and so we need to run. And that's what our fears do. They act like the Hebrew spies. Loved ones, when we listen to our fears, when we listen to our worries, we can usually notice that they're predicting the absolute possible worst situation, right? And that they are connected with the things we love and the people that we love. But what is difficult for us to hear is what our fears say about our relationship with God, because it's more than just how it applies to our life and how it impacts our relationships elsewhere. Fear says something about our relationship with God. Everything has to do with God. And Acts 17, verse 29 tells us that we are God's offspring. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Beautiful. We are God's offspring. And so as God's offspring, we do either one of two things. We either run from God or we run to God. Those are the only options. Even when we're afraid, there's no third way. We either run to God or we run from God. We either turn to Him and trust, or away from Him, trusting ourselves. And which direction we turn says a whole lot about our view of God. When we turn away from God, we are functionally saying that we believe God is uncaring, or that He is unaware, or that He is unable to do something about our situation, or that He is otherwise occupied. When we turn away from God, this is what we say about our belief in who God is. He doesn't care. He's not powerful enough. He's too busy. Turning to God demonstrates our confidence that He cares for us, that He knows our situation, that He is able to do something about it, and that the God of angel armies is always by our side. So the task at hand, not just in this season, but in every moment of our lives, is to practice turning to God and to learn to turn to Him faster and faster and faster than we did before. To learn to turn to God when we are afraid so that it becomes natural and instinctive for us to do so, right? And here, the psalmist help us. Psalm chapter 27, verses 1 through 3 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, it is they who will stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though warriors arise against me, yet will I be confident. That's some pretty impressive comfort. Psalm 56, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long. For many attacked me proudly. And here the psalmist says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? When I am afraid only applies to you if you are ever afraid. The psalmist allows us to have moments of fear, but it doesn't allow us to stay there. There is something we are to do with our fear. We're to turn to God, run to God. All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they lurk, they watch my steps, and they have waited for my life for their crime. Will they escape? In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. The psalmist only says this if he's had sleepless nights, right? When he tossed and turned out of fear and anxiety. And the Lord doesn't look down in derision of this psalmist's tossings. The Lord looks down and, you kept count of my tossings. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? He records them because he cares. They're not. That's pathetic. Look at them in their fear. His heart goes out to those who are anxious. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. That is, I shall not be undone by fear. What can man do to me? There's not a thing that will come against us to destroy the plans that God has for us. Not a thing. And as difficult as this kind of faith seems, and I don't know about you, but I know it seems difficult for me, I would remind you that we have more resources than the psalmist had when he wrote these things. We have more of God's word. We have more of God's word. We have the words of this psalmist telling the story of God. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit as his empowering presence, our great advantage. These psalms can be more fully our own than they were David's. These psalms can be more fully experienced by us who are indwelt by the Spirit, who have this Word of God to read and to comfort ourselves with and to meditate upon, than it can be more to us than it did to the psalmist who first wrote it. Do you know what the most frequent command in the Bible is? You know it. Fear not. Do not be afraid. It's in the Bible more than 300 times. Some say there's 356, right? 65. I was trying to think of years. I know 365, one for every day of the year, and you won't get back to repeat until the next time. And we hear these commands in one of two ways. One is this: stop it. Stop being afraid right now. But that's not how they come to us. Like a parent scolding a child with crayons on the wall, stop it! It's not how they come to us. The other way we hear these words to not be afraid, it's like a child calling out, a parent calling out to a child, be careful. Don't let yourself go that way. You need to stop doing that because that is not good for you. It is not healthy for you. Be careful. I love you. It's not stop it so that you won't be in trouble. It is stop it so you don't do damage to yourself. Lean into me. Run to me. Find help in me. Find comfort in me. Find solace in me. Find strength in me. Find that I am with you. Find an understanding that I have power and that I know and that I'm on your side. Know these things. Be careful. I love you. I care for you. And my desire for you is to be safe. Don't be afraid. Is it, you pathetic, fearful person? It's, oh, I love you and I'm on your side. Don't be afraid. Remember who I am. Remember you're not alone. Look to me for strength. Lean into me with my strength. It's not Zeus from, you know, Mount Olympus and you stop it. It's Jesus saying this: fear not, little flock. For your Father's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. God's not ill-tempered. When it comes toward you, he's filled with compassion. Remember, as he stood outside Jerusalem, the city that was representing all the rejection of Israel throughout the ages, and he was about to be crucified, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I am sick and tired of you. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long I have longed to bring you under the shelter like a mother hen for her chicks," right? This is the attitude of God towards us. It's both a plea, "Don't be afraid," and a word of encouragement, "You don't have to be afraid." From the God who knows you, from the God who loves you, it is exactly what we need to hear when we are afraid. We need to know that there is somebody with us who has the skill, who has the capacity to handle our problems. I don't know how many times I said this week, "Man, what's going on right now is just way above my pay grade." I don't know if you felt that way this week or ever. I'm sure you have. But here's the good news. There's nothing above God's pay grade. He looks down on it all. It is not intimidated in any way. God is just fine. We may be losing our minds. We may be undone, but God is fully done. He sits enthroned in a place of power and authority. The earth is his footstool. The clouds are the dust around his feet. And he has things planned for the future of this world and for the future of your life and for the future of the people that you love, that is not to destroy you, but to fulfill his promise and his work and his purposes for you. The Lord is perfect in every way, in his person, in his promises, and in his purposes. Not one thing about him will be diminished. Not one promise will fail. Not one purpose will come undone. So the invitation that we are being given this morning is to trust God by turning to God with our fears, to trust God by turning to God with our worries, to trust God by turning to God with our anxieties, not just in this season of life when everybody has kind of a focused fear on one thing, but all of our lives and all of the things that tempt us to fear, all of our days with all of the things that tempt us to anxiety and to worry. To turn both our voices to God saying, "Help! Help!" and our ear to his voice that says, "Fear not, for I am with you." Because God cares. God is strong. God is with us. God knows what is going on in our lives. He knows the full truth. One real quick word about truth. There is the truth the way I see it. And I have all sorts of opinions on what's going on. I think a lot of things about what is going on. You do too, right? And you're pretty sure that if anybody on this planet understands what's going on, it's you. I'm pretty sure. I got a better grasp on this than anybody. There's what I think. Then there's the truth as other people say it. But then there is the truth that God knows. Humility demands that I say, "I don't really know how the next 2 weeks, the next 2 months are going to resolve. I don't know." There's some prediction that I think I can make with full confidence and not think that I'm going to err. But what gets on the news is almost always an error, one way or another, because it sounds fantastical and it gets people's blood pressure rising. Doesn't matter what I think I know. Doesn't even matter what I actually know. What matters is that God knows. His knowledge is full. His knowledge is perfect. He knows those who are infected. He knows those who are being healed of their infection. He knows who will be infected. He knows who will pass away and who won't pass away. He knows all of these things in one perfect moment of knowledge. God isn't waiting for it to resolve. He already sees it resolved. God isn't going to the Johns Hopkins website to see how many new infections there may be. He already knows. And so Jesus gives us this comfort. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Well, yeah, right. But he says, don't worry about tomorrow because today has enough worries of its own. There's enough difficulty today for us not to bring more baggage into today from tomorrow, right? And so grace is given to us kind of like manna was given to Israel when they wandered through the desert. Each day, enough manna for that day. In like ways, we are given enough grace for today. You ever wonder why 40 years of manna? You would think at least after 38 years they would have learned the lesson. You would have think after 39 years and 360 days that God wouldn't have to do it for the five more days, right? Well, apparently not. Apparently we are quick to forget that our supply and our source for this day comes from God. And when you have toilet paper in the basement, it's a really easy thing for us to do to thumb our nose at some people who are down to one roll. But let this thing lag on for 2-3 months and your supply grows thin. The reason why, you know, up to this point, God hasn't given you, you know, self-renewing toilet paper because you need to be reminded that you don't have your own toilet paper under control. Not even that. Doesn't mean if you went to Costco a week before the coronavirus came out and you bought them all out, if you live for another 20 years, you're going to run out of toilet paper. You can't even handle your own toilet paper. And it's played out before us, right? Handling our own toilet paper is above our pay grade. So we need Jesus today. And when we wake up tomorrow and we have food in the pantry, we need Him tomorrow. And when we wake up next week and we still have supply to get it through that day, we will still need Him on that day. This is what fear would cause us to do, to believe that God doesn't care, He's not powerful, He's not interested in our life, He doesn't know what's going on, He's too busy elsewhere. And the Scripture calls us, as God's offspring, as His dearly beloved children, lean in to God for all the anxiety and the fear and the worry that wants to attach itself to your life today, and you will find He's sufficient to give you peace for today. And if I have peace today, I can believe that He will meet me tomorrow with enough grace for me to have peace tomorrow. So, what do you do when you are tempted to fear and worry and anxiety? You turn to God. And you have this as a resource. And how do you cancel the people who are around you who are tempted to fear or who are consumed with fear and worry and anxiety? You point to a God who cares. And you ask. How much toilet paper you got left? Because I got some extra. And isn't that the story of God's people? We have freely received everything we need from Him. And all witness is, all evangelism is talking to people who are in need of Jesus Christ. How's it going for you? Where have your resources been depleted? I know where you can go. This has been designated as a day of prayer across our nation, specifically concerning the virus as it is spreading. And so what I want us to do in conclusion is I want us to stand. And I'm going to ask that we all pray out as we are comfortable. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for those who are particularly vulnerable to this virus. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for those who, if the virus gets a hold of them and destroys their life, that they will meet the Lord Jesus Christ if they don't know Him. Pray for our land. So would you stand, and if you or stay seated, whatever's most comfortable, but I'm going to ask you to pray. Let us all pray out right now, that I'm going to close us in just a moment. Outsized according to their wisdom, but you will give them wisdom generously to help make good decisions for this country that lead for its healing and lead to its restoration and lead to protection. Father, we want to pray for those who are in national government authority and those who are in statewide authority and those who are in localities, municipality authorities, for those who are the caregivers for the healthcare system, Lord, for the health system itself, for doctors and for nurses and for those who are working round the clock, behind the scenes, trying to develop cures, trying to develop medicines to help those who are damaged, who are weakened, Lord, in their bodies because of this. Father, that there will be early detection and that there will be a resolution quickly coming. For, Lord, for the police to keep help keep our country calm. For all first responders who are going to be out there and placing themselves in danger of maybe contracting. We pray for all those from positions of authority, Lord, and positions of service. Would you protect them and would you empower them to do their jobs well? Father, we pray for those who are specifically vulnerable, for the very elderly, for those who have already compromised immune systems. Lord, would you protect them from damage? Father, for those who are outside of a resource, help for the homeless in this world who have nobody to look after them. Lord, would you look after them? Would you put them in contact with people who can direct them to the help that is needed? And Lord, there are so many people who we don't know by name to call in, groups who are important to you, who you would have us intercede. Would you touch us on the shoulder? Would you quicken within our minds and our spirits in a moment of crisis to pray specifically for people who you need to be prayed for? Father, we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ that this would be a moment when we rise up and we find ourselves a supernaturally given a calm and a rest and a confidence in you that speaks to those who are undone. Lord, may our words of comfort, may our words of confidence, Lord, may it destabilize people's self-trust that they would look to you and find comfort in you. Father, we pray that there would be a quicker resolution to this difficulty in our country than there has been anywhere else. Actually, would you bring a quick resolution to this in every country of the world where it is already deeply anchored? Lord, would you unroot it and abolish it? Where it is right now getting a foothold, would you let that foothold be released and it's cast aside? Lord, we pray globally for healing. We pray globally for strength. We pray globally for your grace. Lord, we know that there is grace sufficient for each one of us on this day, but we pray, Lord, that you would so pour out grace upon this land, that because of the prayers of your people in this season, that the turnaround is testimony of a miraculous, supernatural intervention. And Lord, would you see to it that you are glorified in this, and that no man takes the credit. And so, Lord, we commit all those who are at work in this right now for this to your care and to your work. We thank you that we are not left without resource. And we thank you that you do know everything that's going on, that you do love all who are experiencing difficulty, and that you care enough to do something for us. Lord, we commit these things in our lives to you in Jesus' name. All right, so real quick, would you be seated? Just want to let you, I said this at the front end of the service, but I want to remind you that there's going to be information sent out by email. It'll be posted on Facebook. I'll try to find a place to locate it on the website so that it's clearly seen. And if there's any calendar changes, it will be the church's calendar, which is on the website, calvarywilmington.org. I'll make sure that that is up to date. Would ask that you be praying for us. The decisions that we're going to be making, you know, we're going to pray that God will give us wisdom, that we'll be practical in what we do, and that we will move in a way that is loving. The whole idea for me in this social distancing is one of love. We're to love our neighbor. And if one of the ways you can love your neighbor is not getting sick and getting then sick by, right? And so make wise decisions of your own. Pray that we will make wise decisions. On behalf of Calvary Assembly, I know there have been seasons in the times in the past when church has been canceled because of snow. So, you know, it's not, if that's the way that we go, I don't think it's going to be a failing. Everything is on the table. And we will be doing it, whatever it is, out of abundance of caution. There are people who are part of our congregation who are active in our congregation, who are in the crosshairs as far as being vulnerable to this particular disease, and we want to care for you well. That said, I want to, for those of you who are here, and this will go on future, if you are sick or anybody is sick in your family, have everybody stay home, even if it's the smallest of symptoms. If you have a compromised immune system. There's a couple of people who aren't here today because they have systemic illnesses, systemic issues, that it's unwise for them to be out in public. And so make a wise decision. And what I'm going to ask for the board, I'm going to ask the board to give me permission to ask people to leave in the future if we gather together. Not out of, you know, crankiness, but yeah, have you ever been in a situation where somebody came to church or work and they were just coughing up a lung? And I've been that guy. And I went to work. Of course, it was just me in my office. But then, you know, Pastor Pete's next door to me, and he has to listen to me over here about half dying. And here I'm cowboying up. And Pete's probably just grossed out. Said, man, I wish Brian would have stayed home. And so these things are difficult, and we're going to process through. And again, we're going to stay in contact with you one way or another through phone calls, through emails, through texts. And ask that you would report back to me if you know somebody who's in need and we can do something about it. If you're stuck at work and you have a neighbor who needs something from the grocery store, you know, call me or call somebody who's across the street. We can reach out and care in this way, right? Fear not, for God is with you. Amen? Amen. Would you love one another by not hugging anybody?